We need to get our pond sorted out for the winter time. The James Bond of ponds in New Zealand would have to be on from Redfish Bluefish. He knows exactly what we need to do over winter. John, good morning.
Morning, Tony. How are you?
Sorry about the cheesy comment, but I mean, that's what you get sometimes on a Saturday morning on Home and Garden. You get a bit of cheese.
I get it from you all the time, I think.
What's it like out there in the pond world and water features of New Zealand?
Well, it's cooling down at the moment. You need to look after your pond in a different way in the winter. And particularly as we move down from Auckland and we're moving down into the colder areas of the country, so you need to actually do less and less. You don't want to be feeding your fish. Certainly when your water temperature drops below 5 degrees, the fish are going to kind of be hibernating. So they're not going to be very active. They're going to be sitting at the bottom of the pond and they're going to be keeping as still as possible. And they're just trying to find the warmest spot, which is in the winter. The warmer spots are actually at the bottom of the pond. Up here in Auckland, the temperatures probably haven't dropped as far as 5 degrees yet, but I would definitely be feeding the fish once a week at the very most, because in the winter everything slows down, and if you're still feeding the fish as much as what you ordinarily would, then you're just putting nutrients into the water that we don't want, and those nutrients will build up and create toxins which will be poisonous to the fish. And certainly when we head right into the middle of the winter in Auckland, and the fish have really stopped eating and they've got toxins in the water, it's not going to be a healthy environment for them.
So even if you give your fish lots of food, they're not necessarily going to eat it because they've gone into their natural hibernation mode anyway. That's to the bottom of the pond where it's cooler, and they're going to stay frigidly still.
Yeah, pretty much. That's about right. And if you're in an area where your pond freezes over, it's always a good idea to keep a small area of that pond ice-free. Now, sometimes you see like tennis balls in a pond, and you might wonder why is there a tennis ball in the pond. And unless your dog's dropped it in there, if it's in the middle of the winter, people often leave a ball or something in the middle of the pond, so that they can then lift out that ball or pour a little bit of boiling water over the top of the ball and then lift the ball out, and then you've got a hole in the ice. And the reason for that is we need to let gases out of the pond. So, because there's still a little bit of activity going on, and that needs to be gassed off. Otherwise, those gases stay in the pond, and they're again toxic for the fish. Don't go cracking the ice with a hammer, because that's going to send shockwaves down to the fish, and they're not going to like that at all. So, if it has frozen over, you can get some boiling water and just pour that just over an area of the ice, just to open it up, and then maybe put a ball in there, a tennis ball or a football or something.
Interesting. Filtration is something that we're getting our heads around, and as time's gone on, the filters have become better and effective. Do we still need to filter and keep things moving over the wintertime, or does it just need to remain very still?
It depends where you are. So if you're in an area where it's frozen over, you're probably not going to get the water to move. And you certainly don't want to be moving the water as much as you ordinarily do, because the fish are trying to find the warmer spots. And if you're moving the water around as much as you normally would, you're going to be moving those warm spots away for the fish. So generally, in the winter, you'd be moving the water less than what you would in the summer, and there are pumps out there that do account for the cooler temperatures, and it's the good old Germans who have advanced the technology with pumps and filters. And so it's a brand that we only use, Owasa, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, O-A-S-E, Owasa or Owasa. And they have a whole range of pumps, different sizes, to perform different things in your pond, in your lake, or in your swimming pond. And the top shelf products in their range of pumps, they've got pumps that detect the temperature of the water, and they will then, as the water cools down, so the pumps will start slowing down, and they'll pump less water because you know, they've just built that idea into their pumps that you don't need to pump as much water in the winter. So the pumps are slowing down, and you're saving, you know, up to 30-40% on your power throughout the year just by slowing down the pumps, which is really neat.
John Bond, with marginal planting in nature, the plants would simply die down and they would just stay where they are. And then, of course, as the new growth comes through, the plant decomposes and is absorbed maybe by the pond or in around the marginal areas.
Mm-hmm.
In a domestic situation where you've got plants that are, you know, if there's snow at your place, do you recommend tidying things up or laying over frost cloth, covering over, or do you just like to leave it as nature would take care of it?
If it's now and you're in snow or you're in frost, then just leave it. But if it was, you know, a month ago and the plants had just started dying off, then, yeah, you could have tidied it up and always cut stems above the water line, so that gives the plant the chance to naturally close that stem up and seal it up, because even though they're aquatic plants, they don't like to have water going down the stem and into the plant, because that will rot the plant. So pretty much leave everything alone, and then when the spring comes and things start to warm up again, then certainly tidy up, but still stick to that idea. If you're gonna cut back somewhere, cut back above the waterline. And certainly when spring comes around and you've got lots of dead leaf litter in or around the pond, you really want to get that out, because that as the weather warms up, that leaf litter is then going to provide nutrients for algae, and we don't want that to happen.
Are we getting better with ponds and water features in New Zealand? Because we've seen some pretty shocking examples.
Well, we are getting better, because I've been around and I've been doing them. So, yeah,
if you do say so yourself in the non-narcissistic way.
Yeah, exactly. There's some great products on the shelf now, the Owasa products, and I'll keep pushing that, but we stand by those products, and Owasa stand by them, and they give you a 5-year warranty on them.
Mm.
And because we know that, you know, your pond has to go through the four seasons, often in one day. So whatever you put, whatever you're using in that pond to filter it, it's got to be really robust.
And getting the and the pH of the water changes, as it does with swimming pools. So kind of monitoring and keeping everything in harmonious balance is not easy, especially if you're filling, say, in the summertime with chlorinated water. And we know that the chlorine evaporates off, but I mean, there's this whole kind of balance of keeping aquatic life happy. Keeping the water of some form of clarity, and also making sure that everything's living and thriving really well, so you can have it for a jolly long time. Is there a real science to ponds and pools and water features and waterfalls, or do you think it's something that we can easily learn more about and enjoy for many years to come?
I think the science part of it is just to do your research beforehand, and decide where you want to put your pond, what type of pond you want, and what filtration equipment you're going to use in your pond. And then once your pond is up and running, really it's to do as little as possible to it. Don't worry about pH, because the pH will settle somewhere, and generally the fish and plants generally will adjust to that pH. And also, generally, the pH will be around the neutral anyway, because you're having rainwater coming in on it, and it's going to neutralise, it's going to dilute a high pH that's caused maybe by some alpine schist kind of stone leaching into the pond. But it really comes down to managing the water properly, and that's again coming back to using a good range of natural products regularly in your pond. Enzymes and bacteria are crucial to keeping your pond healthy, as are a range of plants that not only look nice, but they perform a function of removing the nutrients out of the water. So it's not a great science. It's not, you don't have to have a PhD or anything like that. You just need to do a wee bit of research, maybe call some experts, get them in as well. But it's do as little as possible, but know what you are doing is the right thing.
Finally, in Europe, very popular natural swimming pools.
Yeah.
They're actually a big pond, really.
Yeah, they are. Exactly a big
pond. Do you get to see many?
I do. We get to see, they're slowly becoming popular here in New Zealand. Right now, this time of year, they're doing the same thing as what a pond's doing. All the plants in the regeneration zones are starting to slow down. Some of them are dying back. And the same thing, when the spring comes, those plants will regenerate and start growing again. In the natural swimming pools, just like a pond, we're using plants to help clean the water. When I say clean the water, what I'm actually meaning is to remove the nutrients out of the water, because it's the nutrients that are going to cause the unsightly algae to grow. So you're right in saying a natural swimming pool is just like a giant pond, except we're using, in a natural swimming pool, we're using probably 50% of the surface area, or an equal amount of surface area is dedicated to planting, or regeneration zone, as it's called.
And then it all works beautifully. John, always good to catch up. And I know that you always just stick to your knitting, which is ponds. But at this time of the year, is that the time where you take off to a private island and enjoy sun and before you get back into the water again?
It's funny because this time of year, we usually end up doing quite a big project with machinery and lots of digging and mud, and which is funny, yeah.
Yeah. Well, keep up the good work. Good to catch up.
All right. Nice one. Nice to talk to you, Tony.
John Bond from Redfish Bluefish.